And then, when he had climbed a few steps or perhaps a few levels, it was made clear to him what bond of connection he had with this sister, and he too was shown again what lives they had lived, what friendships in God's world they had cultivated together, what common tasks they had carried out together. So he was happy about it, and he was able to raise his mind. He had changed. For base feelings had remained in the depths of his soul for a long time, and he could not quickly free himself from everything that had once burdened him in this world. So this Mary now tried to make amends to him as best she could. Because it had been revealed to him what bond of connection they were bound by, he had mustered great courage and had done everything in his power to live as the world of God required of him. And he had also carried out the work he had to do in the spiritual world with zeal. For he had only one desire, that this bond should be preserved. For it was made a condition for him that this friendship would only be maintained if he made an effort in his ascent. So they were left together for a long time. But then a Spirit of God came again and explained to them that it would be better for them to separate. For now, and this refers to the present time, each should go their own way. Each of them should now express their own strength and strive for ascension, because a new goal has been set for each of them. He and she were told what they must achieve in the future in order to find themselves again. Each of them must now, as a test, fulfill their task in God's world, as it is set for them, so that they can be brought together again. It is not yet clear, as far as I know, in what way they will come together again in a close bond. It is understandable that these two are trying to fulfill their tasks, because these two feel so attracted to each other that each has the desire to fulfill their task, just to be brought together again. I must give the following explanation. There is a deep reason why these two feel attracted to each other. Because they are two who belong together, just like God created the spirit world, always two, that belong together. So these two have already found each other in the lower stages of their ascent. They have recognized each other, and each has tried to maintain this bond of connection, to find the other again. They have therefore taken on tasks, they have overcome things, they have said yes to the demands, because the bond of love was so great that they could overcome everything. If two are on the ascent and are lucky enough to meet each other in the lower stages of ascent, that does not mean that no troubles will come their way, that no fate or trials can befall one or the other. But together they are even tested in adversity for the power and strength of their togetherness. Now you can imagine that these two are trying to fulfill their tasks in such a way that they are born into a better time, where there is no prospect of war for them, where they are born. They can now also look at humanity and its development as it is today. And they are performing their service today in this respect, primarily for the progress of mankind and for their spiritual ascent. They are there to ensure that, when their time comes to re-enter this human life, there is peace among people, where they are born, that those neighboring peoples live in peace. This is how they strive and are so eager as your scientists are to find out more and more. These brothers and sisters are just as eager in their work for peace and for the freedom of the people who live there. So, dear brothers and sisters, I had the task of telling you about these two. If you have any questions, you can ask me. Dear Joseph, can we assume that the two were duals before their fall, that is, while they were still in bliss? Joseph, yes. So both of them were burdened more or less equally by this apostasy? Joseph, yes. Isn't it a great exception that duals find each other so early in the ascension? Joseph, that can be counted as an exception. You will also be given examples of this. You should have insight, you should know that it is possible, even if they are exceptions. Dear Joseph, another question that may interest many of us, what is it like in the world beyond when one takes on part of the guilt of the other? Joseph, the higher spiritual world must agree to that. You can voluntarily do it and say, I want to take on part of the guilt of the other, but you must have the permission, the approval of the higher world. Not everyone could simply say, I am now taking on part of the guilt, that is not possible. If someone wants to share in the guilt of another, does that mean that they are being set back? Joseph, no, not in spirit. For you it seems that is the case, not in spirit. It is just like when you care for poor people, when you go to, say, neglected people and serve them. Then you simply put yourself at their service, but for you that is not humiliating. Dear Joseph, these two were recently separated in the world beyond. Is that so that they make more of an effort? Joseph, yes. The longing they have for each other is supposed to encourage their zeal. Is it to be assumed that they will come together again in a next life? Joseph, it is to be assumed, but I cannot say in what way. We see again and again from these stories that many beings who return to the world beyond know nothing of their previous forms of existence for a very long time, even if they are sometimes already in line and under the guidance of the angels of God. Joseph, yes, that is the case in the beginning. After crossing over, they are still filled with all thoughts, with all events that occupied them in human life. And all of this event must first be released, the interests in this earthly thing, in earthly goods, everything that has tied one to the earthly, the transitory, must first be released. For one person who has returned home, he can quickly release himself because he accepts his new home. Another, however, clings to his earthly goods. He is dissatisfied or disappointed that he is now in another world where he has no possessions. So there are many things that play a role and that do not allow everyone to be free in their thinking. But if someone is a true Christian and has already thought about this in his human life, when I die and pass over into the new world, there will be different conditions, different circumstances, and I must adapt to these new circumstances, and whoever has separated from this earthly, yes, anyone who can free himself from the earthly, transitory world during his life by not becoming a slave to earthly goods has it easy in the spiritual world. Such returnees then find themselves in the world of reality, which has all its gates open, and they quickly become familiar with the idea that they must now devote themselves to other tasks and detach themselves from everything earthly. On the one hand, this is a question of personal characteristics, but on the other hand, it is also a question of the development of the individual who returns home. Dear Joseph, is it possible that a deceased person is not received by angels of God when he returns home? Joseph, angels of God are always nearby. But they do not need to show themselves visibly, because those who return home are led into their spheres by various spirits. But when, for example, someone who is heavily burdened comes, angels of God are nearby. These high angels are not visible, however, but they send others to lead him to his level or into exile. Exactly, in your stories you often, very often, use the expression spirits of God and actually less angels of God. Does this expression spirits of God also refer to deceased people who are ranked in God's order and have almost reached angelic level? Joseph, when we speak of the spirits of God, when I speak of spirits of God, I mean primarily those souls who have returned home and who have adapted to God's order. When we speak of angels, we mean those who have certain powers to judge or guide these spirits. So the angels of God are ranked in their ranks and are above those who return home. And those who return home are spirits of God who belong to his kingdom. Dear Joseph, isn't it beneficial at every stage of development when a being meets or seeks out its dual? Joseph, it would be beneficial, but the fact is that not everyone is equally aware that it is so. They can't yet grasp it. And this connection is so far away that it is not necessarily good. Everyone has to have the desire for it themselves. And it is like this, in the lower stages of development, the thinking of the beings is still of such a low nature, they do not yet have the desire to enter into happiness or love. There are exceptions when such beings have this need by expressing it or by being able to find themselves. You have to imagine people for yourself as they are, a rough person, an unfeeling person, cannot express beautiful, good love, it is something foreign to him, he does not have it. And he has no desire for it either, he does not imagine love to be what it is, with him there is always roughness involved. And that is why the desire is not there yet. because they are all too big ego personalities. Everyone just wants to be themselves and only cares for themselves. Because when you look for the other, further tasks and obligations come along, then you have to share the opinion with the other and come to an agreement. And those in the lower levels are not able to share the opinion, they are all ego personalities. Dear Joseph, but it is also the case that duals are not always incarnated at the same time? Joseph, number. Dear Joseph, is it useful if you make an effort to recall past lives? Joseph, no, not necessarily. In meditation, when you meditate, but that takes a lot of stamina, the spirit world can show you something like that, let's say fragments or images of it. It is like this, the spirit world only wants what is useful to people. But it is not always beneficial for him to know everything he has done in previous lives. Because in previous lives people were not as civilized as they are today, they were very rough and coarse. And if someone were to tell him everything he had done, it could lead to great depression, it would not be good for the person. If it were good, God would have already arranged it that way. What happens to those who do not know Christ? Joseph, they must get to know him. They must seek him in the world of God. And it is like this, when a soul comes into the spiritual world, it is also taught. People do not just talk about the mistakes it has made, and they do not just say, you must now do this and that, or, you must now go through purification and you will come into distress. Because even in the times of distress that the souls have to experience, they are taught about the plan of salvation and redemption. Once they are in God's world, they will accept that Christ is their Savior, because it is shown to them in images. And then comes earthly life again, which must be lived here as a test, here in this life, far from that great, glorious world, into which the eye of man, his earthly eye, cannot look over, where he cannot hear with his earthly ears, what is being said about the plan of salvation and redemption. But he has heard it once, seen it, experienced it, and now, embodied in this earthly garment, in this prison that he must carry around with him, and with the wall that surrounds him, he should be able to take out the truth that lies hidden in the innermost part of his soul, he should thus find the truth himself. And of course, those who believe neither in God nor in Christ have a harder time in their ascent. But it is not the case that they are condemned because of their unbelief, as the church sometimes claims or explains. Rather, God wants everyone to find the way to him. God is a father of mercy, he wants to meet everyone halfway, paths should be created for everyone so that they can find their way to him. The world of God is not cruel even if people act and behave like that, but great grace is given to them so that they can find their way back. But in order to be purified so that they are ready to accept this teaching, they are made submissive in this way. Now, dear brothers and sisters, the time has come, I am withdrawing. May God's blessing be with you all. May all of you who are sick recover in body and soul. Greetings from God. Report of the experience of Spirit Teacher Joseph through his mediator Beatrice Brunner in the hall on Munchhaldenstrasse, Zurich. Original, tape recording. Headline, next case. December 1, 1965. Ida, turning away from false piety. Charity, benevolence and understanding make life a true prayer. Control Spirit, God bless you. I am the control. Dear brothers and sisters, a spirit sister is speaking to you by the name Ida. I wish you all God's blessing for this hour. God bless you. Ida, God bless you. Dear brothers and sisters, my name is Ida. I would like to tell you how things went for me in the world of God in the early days. Before that, I would like to make a few comments about my human life. I remained unmarried and lived, as I believed, a pious life. I took my religious life very seriously in my opinion. But my fellow human beings did not always agree with my behavior. They said I was violent and often hypocritical, they did not believe in my piety. But I tried to be pious throughout my life, because I was of the opinion that prayer is part of life and that it is important to pray a lot because through prayer your sins are forgiven. That is what my parents taught me. I also tried to do a lot of good. Now I would like to tell you about my life in the spiritual world. When I opened my spiritual eye, I was amazed and surprised by this new world. My parents, father and mother came to meet me, some relatives and acquaintances were also there. None of them seemed very happy, they did not make happy faces. They held out their hands to greet me, and I wanted to express my surprise at their appearance and at the same time my joy that they had come. But I did not get a chance to speak at all, because in my thoughts everything was going haywire at first. I was not yet quite aware whether I had really died or whether everything I was experiencing now was actually just a dream. But then a being stood next to me and made it clear to me that I was now in the world beyond. I had died for the world, but had risen in spirit, and all those who had greeted me, who had died before me, were now also in the world beyond, which I now had to familiarize myself with. I had to adapt to the new order and be very obedient. Because not everything I had believed in life was true, and I had done some things wrong, and I had to make amends for them. But they didn't talk about it any further, but asked me to come with them. I had the impression that I was somewhere on earth in a village that was unknown to me. Everything looked so similar. Then my companion went ahead of me into a house and said, "You will have to take up residence in this house for the time being. The residents who are already in this house live together like a family. You must now join these spiritual brothers and sisters and try to live harmoniously with them." He told me that I should be obedient to these brothers and sisters, since I was the last to enter this house, the others had been there for a long time and knew God's order very well. I should therefore obey them. My companion promised to occasionally look around for me again. He did not pay me many compliments, but left me after handing me over to those friends. The house I entered was as modest and simple as I was used to from my life on earth. A brother then came up to me, greeted me in the name of everyone and asked me to sit down. They would now tell me something about their work and their life. But at first I was really dazed. I simply felt tired and did not really know, is what they are telling me true? Have I died now, or is it all a dream? So I asked if they could let me rest a little. I felt like I needed to sleep. They led me into a small, narrow room and there I was able to lie down. There was nothing decorative in this room, just a simple bed. But I didn't care about anything because I felt really tired and could only think, I only have one desire now, to rest. And if it really is the case that I have died, then I want to see what happens when I wake up again. But now I only had one desire, to rest. I didn't know how long I had slept, I no longer had a way of keeping track of time and there was no clock to look at. They then looked after me and asked me to join the family. I felt refreshed and somewhat relieved after this sleep. Everyone was happy that I was doing well and had rested. They then started to talk about all the work they had to do and also about the individual jobs they had already done and the ones they still wanted to do. So they just kept talking about work at length. I was disappointed that I now had to live in such a small space and with these friends. I asked them whether there was a possibility of coming into contact with the saints of heaven. I was taught on earth that if you pray a lot, the gates of heaven would be opened and your sins would be forgiven, and you could then enter into heavenly glory. Where are the saints of heaven? Is there no one there but you? Do I really have to live with you? And they confirmed it and said, you still have to make up for a number of things, just like we do, and you must now try to live harmoniously with us. I replied that I was used to nothing else than living harmoniously. Then I noticed that my siblings had such a special attitude towards me, because they looked at each other and looked questioningly and almost dismissively at me. Now I said to them, if I were already in the kingdom of heaven, would people not pray here? Would this not be more important, more necessary than working? I could not imagine that working would be a necessity in the kingdom of heaven. I also expressed my disappointment that they had not prayed with me first. They looked at each other, and then the brother who had received and greeted me stood up and said, of course, we pray too, But here we have to work and pray, both. I then asked them to stand up to pray. And they complied with my request. They stood up with me to pray, because we had previously sat together. I said the prayer, as I had been used to doing when I was alive. Then I asked them to kneel down, and they did so, but I did not miss the looks they exchanged with each other. When I stood up again, the others stood up too. Now they said that it was time to get to work, I should come with them and they would initiate me into the work. But I could not and did not want to understand that one had to work in the kingdom of heaven. I was of the opinion that they were all living wrongly, and I replied that I would not come with them but would stay here in the house and pray. I would pray for them that God would forgive their sins. Again I saw that they looked at each other questioningly. I did not want to understand that, because I was of the opinion that in the kingdom of heaven it would be more necessary to pray than to work. Because my wish was to get to the saints of heaven as quickly as possible, and prayer seemed to me to be the only right way to do that. So I prayed until the others came back from work. Then I asked them again to pray with me, but they refused. They said they were ready to pray, but only when a higher spirit, an angelic being, came to them and asked them to do so, because here in God's world, life must be like a prayer. So I was taught that charity, goodwill, understanding was a prayer. I couldn't get my head around that. I did not want to understand that. Now they said that I could pray alone, as I was accustomed to, but they would do what they liked and liked. Then I began to argue. I told them that it was their own fault that they were not yet with the saints of heaven because they neglected to pray. Now they asked me to leave the house for the sake of peace. I could pray outside the house just as well, and so I would no longer disturb their peace. They were accustomed to living together in peace, and no one from the spirit world of God had been disturbed by their actions up to now, nor had they ever been reprimanded. Now that they had asked me to leave the house, I did so. For I found them to be disobedient and unbelieving brothers and sisters. They did not even want to pray in the kingdom of heaven. And I expressed my horror at that. I left the house and went outside. There were many other spirit brothers and sisters wandering around, and I started talking to them. I had strange conversations with them. I asked everyone about their previous creed and whether they prayed. Some agreed and others said no. I didn't want to have anything to do with either of them. I wanted to go my own way. Because I had to accept that everyone I met had a fixed opinion and would not be dissuaded from it. Now, since I hadn't been in the spiritual world for very long, I wanted to return to people. I felt drawn to them. Since I didn't find the piety I imagined in my new world and the path to the saints remained blocked to me, I wanted to return to people. There were enough of them who prayed in the way I had prayed, and so I simply wanted to seek out the people. Strangely enough, I found the way very easily. I was drawn like a magnet straight back to this earth, to the people where I had lived. I now went through the house where I had lived before and found that various changes had taken place there. I was not satisfied with that. I also found that there were still many spirit brothers and sisters, all of whom were looking for something better. So I sometimes got into conversation with this or that, but no one could give me the answer I would have liked to hear. Some were indifferent, others scolded me and sent me back to where I had come from, and still others said they did not want to have anything to do with me at all. So the reception was not particularly friendly. But I had the impression that they were all on the wrong path and not striving enough and were not oriented towards God. I then met a person whom I wanted to follow. I wanted to see his daily work. I had noticed how many spirit brothers and sisters took an interest in people and accompanied them. I wanted to do the same now. So I followed a person to observe him. Now I was not the only being who was willing to accompany this person. It was a man. There were various beings, but I had no idea who they belonged to or where they belonged, because I did not know the spirits at that time. There were two beings in particular who were very interested in this brother and did not leave his side. These two were simply attracted. I had the impression that they were attracted in a similar way to people. I could not see anything special about them. So I followed them. Now these two had been watching me. They must have seen that I was also following this brother. They let it happen and sometimes glanced at me. At first, however, they did not say a word to me. Wherever this brother went, I always accompanied him with my prayers. I prayed constantly for his protection, but also assumed that this brother would pray. After a short time, I made the following observation: these two spirits, in whom I could not find anything special, also began to pray. And so it seemed to me that I had finally found the right company that also prayed to God. But I observed this brother at what he was doing and had to realize that what he was doing was a sin, even though I and the other two had prayed so much for him. I made another observation: behind me, at a greater distance, was a tall, slender being. I could not look at it closely because it was too far away for me. The other two were closer to me, I could observe them better. Now I spoke and said to them, "How is it possible that this person is committing a sinful act while we are accompanying him with our prayers?" The two answered that there was nothing wrong with that and we just had to continue praying. What this person had done was not a sin for him. Because he was not aware of what he had done, he would not see it as a sin, and furthermore, he was under the blessing of the accompanying spirits. They pointed to me and said, "You are a spirit of prayer, and you see, we are also good spirits and pray. We accompany the person with prayer so that nothing happens to him and nothing happens." So I also found that things were perfectly fine. I also accompanied this brother to church on Sundays. There he prayed and we prayed with him. But again and again I noticed that he carried out so many actions that were contrary to spiritual law. I could not understand why our prayer did not have more influence on him so that he did the right thing. I then began to talk more and more with these two companions, and they told me that I did not have to accompany just this person, there were so many others that one could accompany, they would be willing to go with me to another person. Then I could see that the person was weak, one could accompany him with all one's attention, with prayers and blessings, and yet he was capable of only doing evil. And so it was very necessary to pray for the person constantly. I completely agreed with them. But now I had to make the following observation: when the person went to rest, we were denied access, neither I nor my two companions could go near the sleeping person, the surroundings were darkened for us. We then had to look for something else that interested us. We then sought out people who were not sleeping, or we wandered to places where people were awake and kept our spiritual watch over them. But I could not be satisfied with these two companions in the long run. Because I always had to see that these people carried out sinful acts of one kind or another, especially when we accompanied them in prayer. So I decided to leave them. I told them that I wanted to look around on my own, but promised them that I would come back. I continued to accompany people, and I also saw spirits again who went with them. But now I had to realize that these spirits that I now encountered had a completely different interest in people. They did not pray, as I had done with those other two beings. Instead, these spirits followed people, led their hands, often held them back when they wanted to cross a path or do something. They held them back by extending the conversations they had with another person. I saw how they put thoughts into their minds and, so to speak, took possession of them. I discovered that these spirits acted differently than the other two beings. They tried to lead people away from evil, to prevent them from doing so, to offer them real protection, and they did not pray constantly. So I made my observations for a while. I personally had not succeeded in gaining power over a person in this way and leading them, because I always saw people being led, and it seemed to me that they already had their faithful companions. So I did not want to be intrusive, because I only wanted to pray. With prayer I wanted to earn my heaven and help others to earn heaven too. Now, after a long time of observing, I once got into conversation with such a spirit who led a person in the true sense of the word. He directed his thoughts to something specific, he literally led him by the hand, and I discovered that he truly only wanted the good. Now I asked him if he was the guardian spirit of this person. He said no, but showed me the real guardian spirit, This one stood at a certain distance from the person. And the person I asked said that he himself was a good friend of this person. He himself was still earthbound, just like me, and so he had the opportunity to guide the person and prove that he only wanted what was good.